Welcome to this episode of Shared Soil, a podcast dedicated to creating community, honoring challenges, and encouraging personal and professional growth for all people in agriculture. My name is Kendall Cornelius, and I'm a field specialist working in the area of agricultural business management.
My name is Rebecca Duby, and I provide program support and technology to the various specialists of UNH Cooperative Extension. How are you today, Kendall?
I'm beyond excited to be recording this episode. How are you?
I'm great. I'm looking forward to this episode. I think today's topic on tractors is going to be really exciting to talk about. I know it's one of your favorite subjects. So tell me, Kendall, what is your first memory of a tractor? I know that mine started when I was young, and it's not quite a tractor per se. Mine's a little different in that mine was on a ride-on mower, in which, learning to do as a child, I promptly drove into an apple tree and dented the front. So certainly knowledge of a tractor safety and correct uses of it is a very important topic for every young woman to learn. How about you?
Funny. Yes, I also have some disastrous memories driving a lawn tractor. Thank goodness no injuries were involved. I would say, though, that probably my very first and maybe favorite memory of driving a tractor, when I was 4 years old, we moved to a town called Barnet, Vermont, very, very rural. And my father decided to build our house. He cut the timber off the land and then milled it there and then built a beautiful post and beam house. But obviously, there's a lot of site work involved in that. And so I have a very special picture of this moment when I was sitting on my father's lap in the back. He's on a backhoe, not a tractor, but you can just see this huge grin on my face. And I'm sitting there with my dad and he's operating the backhoe. And I think that's really a perfect illustration of how I feel every time I get on a piece of equipment or a tractor. But that's my very favorite memory, is sitting there and spending so much time driving tractors when I was a little kid.
That's great, Kendall. That brings me to another question, in that, you know, we talked about the ride-on mower and the backhoe versus a tractor. What really constitutes a tractor? What makes a tractor not an ATV or some other piece of equipment?
That's a great question. There actually is a pretty formal answer for that, in the sense that a tractor is considered it's not considered like a driving vehicle, right? And I'm going to say that, and there's obviously some caveats to that, but it's a piece of farm equipment. It is meant to be operated and used in an agricultural setting. There's a reason why on highways and some roadways, there's a sign that says, like, no tractors. And that's because it's not a car. It's a different kind of vehicle. So tractors are, I mean, they could be two-wheel drive or four-wheel drive, but they're really designed to be the workhorse of your farm. They could have a loader. They could have different attachments on the back. They could be very, very big, like 100, 115 horsepower tractor, which is like, that's like a production ag type vehicle. And then you could even have something down to like 10 horsepower, like a teeny tiny little ride-on lawnmower, or a subcompact tractor, which is like maybe 20 horsepower. They come in all different shapes and sizes, but you know, most importantly, they're not really a roadworthy vehicle. They're not inspectable to be driven on the road as your everyday driver.
All right. So this isn't a podcast about cars then. It's about tractors.
Yeah. Today we're specifically talking about a tractor.
So why do we want to talk about tractors?
Well, I mean, I don't have an excuse to never not talk about a tractor. I will always talk about a tractor. You know, I think because, you know, like everything on a farm, there's an inherent sense of danger. I mean, obviously, you need to be very aware when you're operating this kind of vehicle. It takes a lot of practice. You know, my grandmother always used to say, because my family owns a farm in Connecticut, and she said, if everything on the farm could be accomplished from the seat of a tractor, there would be nothing left to do. And that's because driving a tractor is just a lot of fun. They're so useful. They're so handy when you have the right piece of equipment at the right time. We all know that in farming, time is money, and so they really help in terms of farm efficiencies, and of course, they have their own costs associated with them, but you know, more than anything, I think a tractor gives the operator a sense of ability to accomplish. It gives you an avenue to use, you know, your brain, your critical thinking skills, and it saves your, I don't want to say sweat equity, because it's work driving around on, you know, farm accomplishing things, but it gives you the ability to accomplish something greater than just hand labor would accomplish. So I think there's a lot of things about, like, why would we want to talk about a tractor? And I think approaching the topic of women talking tractors is a really interesting thing to talk about, because it's not necessarily about the tractor itself, the equipment itself. It's the sense of why is it so taboo for a woman to be operating a piece of equipment. And I think that could go for anything, right? This may be the one moment where we'll expand this to all vehicles. How many bad jokes do we hear? Like, oh, she, you know, like, well, she's a woman driver, watch out for her. Or, oh, of course she can't back up because she's a woman. Like, there's a lot of really pretty hurtful side comments and jokes that everyone makes. We, you know, we joke about ourselves as women all the time too, but I think that it's a stereotype that shouldn't be perpetuated. And I think it's something that the more we talk about it, the more we realize how much more we could be accomplishing, or how much we've been held back because we maybe have an inherent fear of operating something, or we just feel like we can't drive a tractor because it's not our place.
Yeah. And speaking to that, you know, I think you get the image in your mind a lot of times, women, about operating tractors is that they're not going to have the strength for it, or it's such a large piece of equipment, they're not going to be able to handle that. Now, can you talk a little bit about, is that really ever the case, or how much strength or how much is really involved to operating a tractor?
I think the way I want to answer that question is this. It's entirely about the situation you're in and the piece of equipment you're operating, right? So it's not so much about physical strength. Yes, you have to climb up and down to get into the vehicle. I mean, some obviously smaller tractors are easier to enter than a really huge, like 100 horsepower ag type tractor. But, you know, ultimately it's all about, you know, you wouldn't want to be driving a huge tractor on a 1 acre farm, right? So that's going to be a really uncomfortable situation. But I think the point I'm trying to make is that many tractors are built to be ergonomically friendly and easy to operate. So there's literally no reason as to why a woman would not be capable of operating a tractor. And I say that too, also saying, you know, in terms of capability, physical disabilities aside as well, because there are some ag manufacturers that do cater to, and they can accommodate physical disabilities in design of tractors. AgriBility and AgriSafe have some excellent resources as to where folks can access that. So in terms of overcoming this stereotype or this myth that, you know, women aren't able, it's simply not true. You can turn a steering wheel just like anyone. Gender and identity aside, there's a glass ceiling I think we all kind of face there, or a glass wall that we run into sometimes thinking, oh, you know, I've been told I shouldn't do this for so much of my life. Like, but then when you stop and really start to think about, like, why? What is the actual pinpointed reason as to why it would be incapable of pushing in a clutch or shifting into gear or turning the tractor around or raising or lowering the scoop? And you really start to reassess.
And Perhaps they were just not taught. It's so often the case that they weren't taught at an early age or at any age and how to operate it. And once they know, it becomes much easier. Mm-hmm. Are there any safety protocols specific to a tractor?
So many. so many. Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I think the best tool a woman can use is her brain. I think we're built to be critical thinkers, like excellent problem solvers and critical thinkers. And what I think is really helpful about that is we can assess a situation a little bit more easily. So, you know, if you're thinking about safety protocols or just anything with a tractor, using your best judgment. Obviously, knowledge is power. You want to be well aware of what you're getting yourself into when you get on a tractor or work around a tractor or hook up a piece of equipment. But the more you know about the safety pieces about operating tractor, the better. There's actually a lot of great curriculums out there that are designed to take you through step-by-step all the safety considerations. Purdue University has Gearing Up for Safety. It's a free online curriculum that you can access and print and download if you want to learn about teaching tractor safety or just anything to do with tractor safety. There's also a lot of great YouTube videos available online, and or you can always call your local county ag agent and say, hey, I want to learn how to drive a tractor. Can you send me some great resources? And would be happy to do that. In terms of safety, also thinking about situational awareness, that comes to mind. Knowing where you're going to be driving, when you're going to be driving, are there pets and or small children around? What's the kind of ground and the surface you're driving on? Large animals, fences, what kind of equipment are you towing behind you? All that kind of like stuff. I mean, you know, safety is kind of one of those subjective terms, right? Like, because it's safety for you, it's safety for everyone around you, and it's safety for your equipment. It's expensive. So making good decisions, that means that you're not going to be beating up too badly on your brand new tractor that cost you $50,000. Also probably a great way to stay safe.
Right. And certainly in New England soil, which is so rife with stones and rocks. Is that an issue that people really need to think about as they're working their tractor through the soil? Is the possibility of encountering a rock that is so soon?
My answer to that would be there's great attachments that go on the front of your tractor, like a root rake or something that can help you pick those stones out. I think that every farm is unique in terms of their terrain and their challenges. And to that, I would say also, we're pretty hilly. There's not a lot of really flat land in New Hampshire. So a great practice a great option that you could take advantage of is making sure that your tires are what's called loaded or weighted. And that's something you can ask your dealership or the place you purchased your tractor from for a reference to. But oftentimes, there are services that will come out and fill your back tractor tires with beet juice. It's sugar beet juice because it's high sugar content, so it won't freeze in the winter and then it won't throw your tires off balance. They used to use calcium chloride. They don't. I say they. The tractor manufacturers or the people who service tractors do not use calcium chloride anymore because it can corrode the inner surface of the tire and it will cause it to explode.
Well, I'd always rather have sugar beet juice in my tires anyway.
Yeah.
Something sweet like that. That's always good.
Right.
Hey, when you're talking about the dealerships, can you talk a little bit about how does a woman even start with tractor shopping? You know, what's the best way to go about that?
Well, that's a great question. So I've gone to a lot of dealerships. I've done a lot of observation to see how my husband was treated when shopping versus when I was treated when shopping. And that's not because I am suspicious of something. It's truly just because it's an interesting experience to see how the salespeople have been trained. Because it's no secret, you know, that like when you go car shopping, the salesman always shakes my husband's hand first. And that I just think is really interesting, right? The handshake, the greeting is always directed towards the man first. And so I always say when you're going tractor shopping, I would go by myself or take a female friend with me because I want that salesperson's attention. I want it to be very clear that I'm the one here purchasing the tractor or I'm interested in driving and seeing the tractors and the equipment that's available. Now, having said that, let's just talk about basic human decency and just say, if you're a paying customer and your money's green, then you should be expecting service, the appropriate customer service for the type of tractor that you're purchasing or the type of equipment that you're purchasing. And that's, I don't care what you're purchasing. It's anything. Should, you know, everyone should be a good human being if you're in that kind of line of work. But more than that, you know, I often do my research ahead of time because I want to know what I want. And that's a great question to kind of back up and think, you know, what do I need for my farm? And let's just say that you've determined that you are looking specifically for a 50 horsepower tractor. You'd really like to have a cab on that tractor because you might be working in inclement weather, or you might be spraying pesticides or herbicides, and that's going to help keep you safer. You know, and you want a front end loader because you plan to be using that front end loader to be moving manure or rotating compost. And you also want to make sure that you get you want a 3-point hitch mower for the back so that you can maintain your pastures. So we have like our checklist, our wish list to say, this is what I really want out of my tractor because it matches my needs on my farm. So when you have that and you approach a dealership and you say, this is what I'm looking for, what do you have that gets me the closest to this? And stick to your guns. You know, most dealerships really do have the best intention in mind. They do want to get you into the right piece of equipment. And that kind of goes back to what I was saying with the safety thing too. You don't want to be using a piece of equipment that's not designed for what you're trying to use it for. And, you know, you wouldn't be using a huge tractor on a 3-acre farm. It just doesn't make sense for you. But what you have on your list really does make sense. So
keeping that list with you really helps you keep on target as they may try to upsell something. You can stick to what your actual needs are.
Right. And I would also say don't feel like you have to get a salesperson involved right away. I often like going and just kind of like walking around, exploring the options, looking at the tractors from first glance, because that also kind of emulates what's going to happen with any potential farm employees. If you have employees on your farm, they're going to want a tractor that's easy to use too and easy to encounter. And so think about this from the perspective of everyone who would be using that piece of equipment. I mean, that's just general knowledge about what you want to purchase. But I like to go and look at the tractors and sit on the tractors myself. And then I can ask the salesperson for specifics. Like, how much does this tractor cost? Does it fit in my budget? Also, does it come with a cab? Or what other attachments are available for the front or the back of the tractor? Tell me a little bit about the maintenance on the tractor. That's the other question that I always ask of a dealership. Is this tractor easy to get parts for? Is it easy to maintenance? Is it something I can change the oil by myself? Or what kind of service does the dealership offer if there's something that's catastrophically wrong with the tractor itself, if you get it home and it doesn't work?
True. Those are all great points. You know, I know that it helps me to have stuff written down. It's like going to the doctor's office. You want your questions written or else they get forgotten in the excitement of what you're talking about or looking at. And certainly a tractor could derive that excitement as you're looking to get something new.
I would also say, you know, stick to your list, but be open-minded also to the other features and functions that you might find. There's a lot of different options for the transmission in the tractor. If you think, well, I really just want a geared tractor, high, low range, like very, very simple, clutch, et cetera, but you want it for mowing and you go to the dealership and the salesperson says, well, you know, you really might consider a hydrostatic clutch because that is going to make going forward and then quickly transitioning going backward a little bit easier. It's going to be much better to just drive around straightforward. If you really only want it for one or two purposes, that may be the best way to go. Also, trusting that if they're a knowledgeable person and they're a salesperson who's worth their salt, they should also help you kind of improve on the ideas that you have and get you the right type of vehicle for what you're looking for. It is their job to know that stock inside and out.
Do you recommend going to more than one dealership and trying out different models of different brands for your tractor?
That's a great question. I laugh because there are so many people who are brand loyal, right? Like people are like, oh, you know, I bleed blue. I'm such a Ford New Holland person. Or someone's like, I would never have anything except for a green John Deere sitting in my yard. So I personally would say yes, check out your other options. Different tractor manufacturers make things different, especially ergonomic considerations, I think is more important than the color of the tractor. Ooh, I'm going to say that. That could be controversial, but I'll say it. If this is a tractor you're going to be spending a lot of hours sitting in, you're going to need this for a lot of work, then buy something that's comfortable or buy something that you could replace the seat or customize in a certain way to fit your body size and position. The other thing we talk about a lot with our Women in Ag programming is the different shapes and sizes of our bodies, of everyone's bodies. But it is a known fact that actually agricultural equipment is designed for men. It's not really designed with women's body proportions in mind. And so it's very important when you go shopping to pick a tractor that feels really great to you and is adjustable for the size and shape of your body. That's very, very important. So color aside, you may be really loyal to one particular brand or another, and that's fine. But I would still say just shop around. Absolutely. The other consideration when you're purchasing a tractor is at what point should you purchase the tractor? You know, in our last episode, Kelly McAdam talked a lot about how women farmers are a very prevalent group and how are we helping them understand the value of their farm, right? Like how I talk about value, but I mean in the business aspect. At what point, at what capacity is your farm viable? What revenue streams do you have? And I think the idea of mechanization is not always something that comes to the forefront of our mind right away. So for me, though, if I was to be running my own farm and I'm saying, I really have a hard time finding labor, I think that's a very common theme with every farmer, you know, women or otherwise, every farmer is saying, I just cannot find labor. It may be time to mechanize. If you have enough income on your farm and if you can justify the cost, then this may be the time. So when you're purchasing a tractor, thinking about the functions that you need it for, right? If you just don't have enough people to go out and weed, then you could get a cultivator, a tow-behind cultivator for your tractor. If you have a farm that is very scenic, very beautiful, and maybe you have a lot of parking space and it lends itself well to agritourism, what does it look like to get a tractor that can safely pull a hay wagon? You know, if you could do tractor-drawn wagon rides. That's an excellent revenue source. And you, of course, you need all the insurances and stuff to go with it. But that could replace, it could replace a different revenue stream on your farm that required a lot more human labor. Like, for example, this year, instead of growing carrots, you're going to do tractor drawn wagon rides. And you're going to bring in more money and it only requires one person. And, you know, maybe you're offering this 5 or 6 weeks out of the year rather than needing to employ someone all season long. So thinking about how that tractor is going to actively give back to you in a revenue sense is important, and also how it's going to limit the amount of physical hands, physical labor that you're going to need on your farm. Not because you don't want to hire people, but because you're really having a hard time finding people to hire. So a tractor is not, it is something that could change the structure of your business too. For the better or, you know, potentially for worse, if you are not well set up or if you aren't set up perfectly to accommodate the tractor that you have. That's the other thing. You could purchase a tractor that's not appropriate for your farm. I also want to throw in here too, I personally am a fan of purchasing used tractors. I think if you find a really good one, tractors were built to last. It's absolutely true, the saying, like, they don't make them like they used to. When you look at the old model tractors, my husband has a John Deere 50. That tractor is designed to do its job, but it was designed to be worked on. The parts are easily replaceable, or they were. I mean, you know, obviously that tractor is very old now, 70 years old. But the point being, open on the side, the parts were meant to be accessed and maintained and worked on. It was designed to be a piece of equipment that would last a very long time. Another tractor that you really commonly see that's very handy are Ford 8Ns and 9Ns. And they made a lot of them. They're great little tractors for just getting around the farm. They're easy to operate. They're nimble. They're actually, interestingly enough, I think most of the 8Ns are gas instead of diesel. That's another consideration we can talk about. They're easy to maintain and they're easy to find parts for because there are so many of them out there. So don't discount the idea of going to a dealership that also has used tractors. Or if you're somebody who's very mechanically inclined, shop around. See if you can find one that's been sitting in a field for a few years that just needs some new fluids and new tires and some maintenance and upkeep, and then it's going to be good as new. But tractors are one of those neat farm pieces of equipment that are designed to be continued in use for years.
Where could people reach out? What are some venues maybe that they could look for used tractors within if they were interested in buying a used tractor? Would they go to Craigslist? Would they go to?
Well, you know, to be honest, there's a lot of tractors out there that are just sitting in fields. You know, you can drive around all of New England and somebody's got some nice old something hanging around. But again, it just depends on what you want. If you have a family member that has an old tractor, it's worth talking to them. You could go to a dealership and see if they have a farmer that comes in often asking for parts. I think it's one of those things, unfortunately, I don't find Craigslist to have very savory people all the time. But if you feel confident that your the post you're looking at or the tractor you're looking at is legitimate and it's not a scam, then I would say just, you know, do your research and go for it. But always make sure that if you're going to, no matter where the situation of the tractor is, really do your research ahead of time and see what the troubles with the tractor were, what the strong points with the tractor were. There's so much content on the internet nowadays that's going to at least get you pointed in the right direction for what you need. I also love watching tractor restoration videos on YouTube because it gives you some really keen insight into the issues that the people who are working on the tractors are running into. So if you need a tractor that's gas instead of diesel, then, you know, figure that out. Again, those tractors need different maintenance than a diesel tractor, but that may be what you're more, you're working on a combustion engine instead of a diesel engine or a compression engine. It's just a little different mindset. But no matter where you're shopping for that tractor, again, I go right back to that whole thing of make sure that it's an appropriate vehicle, you're not just buying it because it's convenient and available.
Great. Thank you, Kendall. You have such a wealth of information about different aspects to think about when just getting started with a tractor.
Yeah, I think, you know, we talked about maintenance. Maybe it would be also kind of great to just chat very quickly about maintenance in your tractor. And if you're going to be investing in this kind of piece of equipment, having a keen understanding of how to keep it going for as many years as you can is important. I think one of my favorite stories is when my husband and I got married, my father actually gifted us a tractor from our farm in Connecticut. It wasn't being used. It had been properly stored. It's a 1983 Ford 1900. It's just a little 25 horsepower tractor, but the sentimental value was what was important, and it was a great starting point.
Now that's
us.
A wedding present.
It is a wedding present. Yeah. So I guess my point in saying all that is because it had been on our family farm, we knew the maintenance that had been kept or, you know, in recent years, not kept up on the vehicle. So we had an idea of what parts needed to be replaced in the future, or, you know, when we pulled it out of the storage area that it was in, we replaced, you know, all the fluids basically and primed the, took the air out of the valve. I mean, I won't get too far. It doesn't really matter. But what matters is the fact that, you know, you can maintenance a tractor and it will continue to run for years and years and years, and it will run well. If you're investing in a new tractor, things like your oil changes, things like watching for dry rot on your tires, keeping up with your hydraulic fluid, your hydraulic hoses to make sure they haven't cracked. That's one of the most common issues that I've seen in old tractors are hydraulic hoses that are covered by a canvas or a rubber protector. And you have to take that off to see the condition of the hoses underneath. I have seen a hydraulic hose burst because it was cracked and fatigued and it finally just gave out. And that's very dangerous. It's extremely dangerous. The fluid is hot, hot, hot because it's under pressure and it goes everywhere. They literally explode because of how much pressure that hydraulic hose is under. And when I say hydraulics, that's like if you have a loader on your tractor and it's raising and lowering pallets or unloading something, it's the point that you really want to make sure you're looking after. You know, maintenance aside, I think maintaining a tractor is a great way to get to know the piece of equipment. And the better you know your piece of equipment, the more efficient and handy you can be with running that on the farm.
Right. And certainly maintenance on your tractor is protecting your investment by extending its life and having less repair costs. And thus being, as you mentioned, safer to the driver and all around it by preventing accidents as much as possible.
Yeah, and actually, I'm glad you mentioned preventing accidents. Tractors, old tractors, when we talked about buying a used or a secondhand tractor, one of the biggest things that they lack are seat belts and or rollover protection systems. A ROPS, rollover protection system, is something that all new tractors will come with, whether it's the bar that goes up over the back of the tractor or a cab is considered a rollover protective system. Very, very important to have. Rollovers are a huge issue in tractor safety, especially here in New England where it's hilly. Or you mentioned the rocks earlier in the field. If you hit a rock at going at a certain speed, you definitely could tip the tractor then. Important to remember, though, is that actually on a tractor, you don't always wear your seatbelt. If you do not have a ROPS, a rollover protection system, you do not wear a seatbelt. And that is because the tractor ROPS is designed to suspend the driver with the seatbelt on so that they don't get crushed. However, if you don't have that suspension system, that ROPS, to hold the end of the vehicle up, what you want to do is be able to get free of the vehicle. The good news is, for older tractors, though, many of them are made of steel. There's a lot of solid metal components, and it is possible to get some ROPS that will retrofit onto those tractors. If not, you know, they've got some great weld points, so you can always be maintaining and working on them that way. But looking at your ROPS system, making sure you have a seat that either does or doesn't. Every seat should have a seat belt, but installing an aftermarket seat belt can also be a great option to protect yourself. And you talked about insurance policies, like making sure that you've done everything you can to make that vehicle as safe as possible.
Great. Well, thank you, Kendall. That's a lot of great talk about tractors. And I know that there's so much more information that we could continue to cover. But I think we're going to wrap it up for today. Is there anything else you want to add?
Other than go out and take a little spin around on your tractor and have some fun? No, I think I would definitely say keep an eye out for our future tractor safety workshops. We don't have one planned at the moment, but it is something that we offer and we like to offer. And also, if you ever have any questions about how to figure out what type of tractor to use for your farm or to purchase, what kind of equipment you're looking at, don't hesitate to reach out to your local ag agent. They should definitely be able to point you in the right direction for some resources or information.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Shared Soil. And we look forward to discussing another farm topic for women in agriculture in our next episode.
Shared Soil is a production of University of New Hampshire Cooperative Extension, an equal opportunity educator and employer. Views expressed on this podcast are not necessarily those of the university, its trustees, or its volunteers. Inclusion or exclusion of commercial products in this podcast does not imply endorsement. The University of New Hampshire, U.S. Department of Agriculture, and New Hampshire counties cooperate to provide extension programming in the Granite State. Learn more at extension.unh.edu.